Vans on Patrol time. It's Vans on Patrol time.
What is it? Episode 193. Deep Blue Sea in the Summer is the name of the show. And guess what, y'all?
It's Fans of Patrol.
I'm the host of Fans of Patrol. My name is Montego Bradley. And with me is my lovely and studious co-host, Miss Tifflebot. How are you, Tiff?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Oh man, I'm feeling good. It's a different time of recording for us, man. So
it's
a different dynamic is what the people are gonna get. We normally like do it like so early in the morning on Saturday, right? So for those who don't know, but it's Friday night. Anyway, it's episode 193. We are rolling toward 200, and we have no Smooth this week again because we shafted him and recorded on another day. So
yes, we're sorry, Smooth.
Yeah, so he'll be back. Smooth lovers will be back. But we got a great show. We got some robot news, and I'm not going to really talk about that.
Special robot news.
Special robot news. We also have some Fallout news. I'm a Fallout fan, so that's a beautiful thing. And, oh, wait a minute. We changed this last story.
Bad times at the El Royale.
At the El Royale. We changed it. We had another thing on here, and it just wasn't piquing our interest.
Didn't spark.
Right. So, if you're familiar with What's Dope, we got What's Dope this week. We got some things to talk about that's dope. And we had a comic book, but we got rid of it because we just didn't have a time. We'll do it next week.
That's how Fridays go.
Right. And guess what, y'all? It's the summertime, and we finally got around to Deep Blue Sea, as promised. We just got to find a shark movie for the beginning of the summer. Our fans is looking forward to it. We did Jaws last year. We're doing Deep Blue Sea. Next year, we'll probably do the Meg. It'll be something like that. Right? So that's going to be the show for this week, man, and I think it sounds groovy. What about you, Tiff?
I think it sounds fantastic.
That's beautiful. You ready to go?
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it. Fans of Patrol fans, we reported some news a couple of weeks ago. We said that Transformers was dead, man. They announced, Paramount said they were cutting all the Transformer news that was up and coming. And me and Smooth was very sad. Tiff was elated.
I was feeling pretty good.
She was feeling with glee and joy, but me and Smooth didn't feel so great. And, you know, we reported that the Bumblebee, because they didn't tell us that the Bumblebee movie was, you know, in or not. But apparently this movie was, like, done, and we didn't know. And a trailer came out this week. Hold up for a second, because I just want to marinate in that beautiful tune. Just, yes, let it go. You got the touch. Anyway, Bumblebee is coming out, and... You know, the trailer was released, and I expected the same stuff that I had seen before. But, my God in heaven, this looked like the Transformer movies that all Transformer fans were looking forward to. But before I, like, just, Tiff, you saw this trailer. What did you think about this trailer?
It doesn't look bad.
It doesn't! It looks original.
Yeah, it looks like a movie about... what you would assume a robot from outer space would be like. He's scared. He's adorable. So, like, I think, like, and all, the only problem I have with this trailer, and you answered the question for me, is there a romance between this woman and this robot?
Oh, no. That I'm not so sure. However, I'm going to bring your attention back to something. A few weeks ago, me and Tiff was talking, me and Dwayne was actually talking on the show. And I said, you know what they need to do? They need to go old school and bring back the old robots like they used to look on a cartoon. They need to bring back the old Starscream and just make them look like the toys and just do it like that. Do it old school back in the 80s. And me and Dwayne were like, yeah, yeah. And you didn't give a shit. You were just sitting there. Like,
no, I'm not. That's true.
But you know what? I looked at this, and Bumblebee is a bug, and he looks like he did it back in the 80s. And then what really got me about this trailer was Starscream looked like the toy back in the 80s, man. And I was like, oh, my God. We were on the same page, because it's not like I gave them the idea, but we were on the same page. And this trailer looks awesome. And I will say one more thing, that yes, the internet has responded in kind. The feedback from the internet has been like, holy shit, this looks like the Transformers movies that we wanted all along. And so,
yeah, it's got 17 million views on this trailer.
And most of the reviews are positive for the trailer, which is amazing, because people hate the Transformers except for me and Smooth.
Well, supposedly. Right. But I think, like, maybe you're right, because even I can sense this has a little bit more heart to it. You know what I mean? It has that original... It's got a devotion, like, so maybe the person who made it was like, I want to see the Transformers I would have wanted to see that I remember from when I was a kid.
Yes! I mean, the graphics and the cinematography has always been there with the Transformers movie, regardless of what anybody ever said. The films have always been beautiful. But stuff was, like, really wonky and stuff, you know, and the heart and soul of what Transformers was has always been left behind, because... At the heart and soul of Transformers, it was always about Bumblebee and Spike, who the Shia LaBeouf character kind of embodied, but was never Spike. And now it looks like this woman, whoever she may be, is embodying this character, which is completely fine, you know? And, you know, so that's good. But it's back in the 80s. It's so it seems, because they got mixtapes and cassette tapes and, you know, stuff like that.
Yes, and they're Rickrolling us.
And they're Rickrolling us, right? And so, you know, I don't know. They canceled Transformers, right? They said, we're not doing it anymore. But then y'all put this out. What is this going to do? Okay, so they always make almost $1 billion every last movie, right? So what if this movie comes out and makes $2-3 billion? Because...
Of course it'll be back. They love money.
Well, right. What are you going to do? Are you going to pick up from where this movie left off? I mean, you got the bug... the picture of Starscream looking like he did back in the 80s with the same colors and everything, and that just really got me. I was like, damn it, at F-15, which was Starscream, and the colors that he was, I was like, God damn it, this is what I wanted.
I mean, like, to me, I'm like, I can't tell that they're the original stuff. I can just feel the difference.
Yeah, well, and you're not even a fan. Matter of fact, you don't even like this. And nope. It's not bad to you at all.
Right. It's not the same as, like, there was just something, like, somewhat artificial about the other ones that I just, like, I didn't feel like they were telling the story from their heart. They weren't, like, coming from a place where, like, and even if they were fans of Transformers, it seemed more like, flashy, flashy, blah, blah, blah. Like, this more seems like, hey, isn't, like, they're basically aliens. They would be confused. They would be scared. There's this weird war going on.
I'm more excited than just because it's a Transformers movie. I was excited because I said, this is really good. And you know, I'm honest. I say, oh, like the last Transformers movies. Oh, yeah, it was bad as hell, but I loved it.
<You know>? Right. You're just excited because it's a movie about robots. And, right. And it happens to be good. And it happens to be Transformers.
And right. This actually looks good. So I hope it works out. So where are we next?
We're going to talk about Fallout. So Bethesda. Is it Bethesda?
It is Bethesda.
Sometimes I get confused because there's Bethesda and then Blizzard. And I know that's, you know what I mean? Just get confusing. They have released a little bit ahead of E3 some information about their next release for Fallout, which is called Fallout 76.
Yes, Tefobot.
Vault 76.
I am a super duper, duper duper Fallout fan. I play the games and it consumes my life when I start playing it. And so... I'm excited, man. Do you play Fallout?
I have not. Mike likes it, but this trailer kind of made me want to play it. Oh. But I'm really really bad at gun, like, shooting games. I'm at aiming.
No. This game at its heart and soul is a RPG at its heart and soul. The action can be slowed down. You can modify all the action in the game to how you want it to be. It could be like a first-person shooter, or it can be role-playing, you know, take a turn. It's how you want it to be. And so, you know, it's up to you.
This trailer specifically really drew me in. It like seemed like, I'm like, okay, now I want to know the whole mythos. Like, what's the story behind? And like, I read a little bit about the article where it's like, okay, it's a certain number of years after this nuclear war. These people are supposedly, and they've referenced this, you can tell me if I'm wrong, but they've referenced this Vault 76 in other games.
Yes.
Where they had these potential, like, people who were going to be in this vault until after the war, and then they would be emerged after the fallout was clear, and then repopulate.
Yeah, but not a big deal, because every vault had people, it was a nuclear war, and in every game, it's been people who've been underground, and then, like, you know, your character is someone who's like, hey, let me venture out. And so it's been like 200 years after the nuclear war, and it's like World Warrior, you know, out there.
Yeah.
And it's so much fun. I mean, if you like role-playing, if you like, you know, first-person shooters, and it could be a third-person shooter, because all you have to do is press the button, and it's a third or it's a first, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the game is just so good and so compelling. And the only one that was, to me, the weakest one was Vegas. And I know a lot of people like Vegas, but the weakest one was Vegas. The last one that came out with Fallout 4 was so goddamn awesome. I mean, it was just really good stuff, man. Really, really good stuff. And if you like that stuff, you are missing out if you don't know about Fallout. But for the people who are Fallout fans, you know, it's been about maybe 3 years since the last Fallout game.
Oh, really?
And but they've been having like plenty of you know, added stuff, you know, downloadable content. Oh, sure, content.
Some like DLC and stuff.
But you gotta buy it, you know.
Of course, and they want money.
Right, and I didn't buy any of the downloadable content. I didn't buy it. Sometimes I do.
That is so you.
Right, you know, if I would have.
It was supposed to be in the game. Put it in the game.
Get it in the goddamn game. Give me that. Give me that. I want to play it. Give me that. Give me that. You know. And so I didn't buy any of it, which was weird for me. And, you know, I said, well, I'll just, you know, I started playing other stuff. Like, I'm still playing Monster Hunter with Beat 'em Down from Coke 45 podcast. Mm-hmm. But here's the problem with that game, though. They keep giving you everything for free. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, free. They are like, right, all the updates are free. They're doing it right. You buy $60 and that's all you should pay. Anyway, Fallout did the same thing. You know, hey, buy this, $14. Buy this, you know, $6. Right. I didn't buy any of it. But now they're coming out with another game. And so that's a beautiful thing. It's a fun game. If you want to have a lot of fun, play this goddamn game. I mean, really. I mean, you should try it, Tiff. Fallout 3, the graphics might be a little too shitty for you now, you know. But
I've never been like against old graphics.
Well, I started with Fallout 3. That was my first time, my first experience with Fallout, and mm-hmm. So I played Fallout 3. I mean, you can play that game. You can play that game the entire summer, and you know, coming home from work and doing your duties. That's what I used to do. Play it the entire summer, and when it was over with, it was like fall, and I was like, okay, cool. I mean, I think I logged maybe like 120 hours on the game. You know.
Sure.
Yeah, and so with Fallout 4, I think I did like probably another 120 hours, and it's so much fun. And then they had all that downloadable content that I just didn't buy, and I wish they just put that on with the game. So anyway.
Well, they said this, so there's probably going to be more information about this upcoming at E3.
Indeed.
But they also, people have speculated that on the Pip-Boy, or whatever it's called, the little handheld device that they wear.
Yes.
They have said that there was an October date on that originally. So people are kind of guessing that potentially this game will come out in October.
Oh, really? Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But I'm assuming that E3 will be the announcement of the date release. Because, you know, from what I understand, Bethesda doesn't do too much. They're not big on, like, oh, it'll come out sometime this time. They're pretty much concrete with their release.
We skipped occupational trailer, right? And we went
We had a trailer called Occupation. It was like maybe Australian science fiction.
Yeah.
But it wasn't very good, so no. We replaced it.
We replaced it. What's the name of this thing?
Bad Times at El Royale.
Yes. And this movie, this is a trailer, and it's coming out, and it's pretty exciting, y'all. I mean, it has
A little bit of action.
Oh my goodness. It has like that I don't know. It has that Chinatown Casino Royale feel.
It kind of sort of feels like a Coen Brothers movie.
Yes.
It's not a Coen Brothers film.
What's the name of it again?
Bad Times at El Royale.
El Royale, right. And so Jeff Bridges, it's like being Jeff Bridges in this movie, mm-hmm. man. And then they have Chris Hemsworth in this movie. And they have so many people in this movie. And
John Hamm.
Who else?
That girl, I don't remember her name, but she's kind of famous. But this is, it says it's from the screenwriter of The Martian, but it's kind of like tells a story of this hotel that is across state lines. Half of it is in Nevada and half of it is in California. But that there's kind of some seedy, interesting things going on, including like that there's a back alley where you can spy on the people who are watching or who are in the hotel. It's kind of a bizarre, like, you don't really know. There's not too much given away in the trailer.
No. And which to me makes it a masterful trailer, but they show you enough stuff that you're like, hey, I'm interested in this. And I just want to point out that I see Chris Hemsworth in this, right?
Yes.
And he's not doing like I'm the badass, you know?
No, he's playing kind of a goof.
Right. And it's like a perfect way for him to go as an actor, in my opinion. If I'm his manager, I'm like, yeah, do this. Because, you know, you have it's an ensemble piece and you get to shine instead of like, like, he just did a movie where he's, like, some badass with a gun, like, in some mm-hmm. war. And I'm like, why would he do some shit like this? We don't need to see you as the hero. You are already Thor. You know what I'm saying? We don't need to see you be the hero. We need to see you do some inventive, smooth stuff that gets people interested in you. And this movie looks like that movie. I mean, there's a lot of stars in this movie, you know? And so... And it's like back in the 60s, back in
It's 60s, 70s, 60s, and you wonder what the mystery of this. And I think like he might be it looks like, okay, if I'm guessing about what he is, he seems like he might be a cult leader.
Yes, he looks like he comes off with a no shirt on, of course.
Right, yeah. And there's a bunch of people following him, and that's why it kind of feels like a Coen Brothers movie, because there's always like a bunch of stories that kind of converge into one story that like, if you watch them separately, you're like, how does this even make sense together? But it just works out that way.
Yes. There's a lot of listening devices. There's a lot of there's a lot of intrigue. There's a lot of mystery, and it just looks like a great thing, man. You know,
It looks like a crime kind of story, but also just there's a mystery involved.
See, we ought to make it our business, no matter how like shitty I get, to like do a movie like this when we talk about it like this early. You know, we ought to.
Yeah, we should try to remember the movies that we talk about, and then are like, well, bye.
Right. And, you know, and then, like, because I'll be the guy to be like, you know, F that movie.
I don't want it. Well, it comes out in October, which is kind of a slower time, so we might see it.
Yes, indeed. So, looking at this, I'm interested in it big time, you know?
Yeah, this is like one of those trailers that, like, even if you end up not really caring much for the movie when it comes out, you could watch this trailer over and over again and just be fascinated and entertained by it.
Yes, so great choice, Tiflebot, and, you know, because I think that's really good, you know. I'm interested.
A nice replacement.
Indeed. Okay, so it's time for social media time, man. Could you just let the people know how to reach us and how to get to us?
Absolutely. For everything Fans and Patrol, go to fansandpatrol.com. That's where you can see all our past shows, show art that Montego's done, articles, things that Fans and Patrol have done in the past, pictures that Montego's taken. But you can reach us directly at fans@fansandpatrol.com. That's an email address. We'd like to hear your suggestions, your comments, your concerns. If you'd like to reach us a little bit more indirectly via social media, we're on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Fans on Patrol. And then, of course, you can listen to us on Stitcher, Satchel, Google Play, Podbean, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. And if you could give us a review or a rating on any of your favorite listening platforms, we would really appreciate it. That helps us become more easily searchable. Shout out to Smooth.
So, man, we're going to take a little break, and we're going to come back with what's dope in our lives. So we'll be right back.
I just see the saddest life, a savage life. Snakes and thieves, every man has his price. It's hell below, who will or won't sell his soul. What's my goal, go to jail or fail? Hell no. In the streets there's a few ways out, cause face it, time is short. Think fast, will I resort to a life of crime and fast cash? Nah, I'm destined to be king, staying on the right path.
I'm in love, but I'm still sad.
Alright man, we are back for another evening edition of Fans on Patrol. You know, just play that nice little adult music there, and you know, we're doing our thing.
All kids out of the pool.
Right, all the kids out of the pool. Go to hell to sleep, you know. We don't care if you're listening to this on Monday morning, you know. Shit, we recorded this at night. We don't do night recordings too often. So Tiff,
yes.
What you got this dope?
Okay, so what's dope is when we, as individuals on the show, tell you, the fans, what we have heard, played, listen to, read, that we think is just dope, and we want to share it with you.
Yes, that's it. That's all.
So I actually have one thing that I'm really excited about.
Mm-hmm. What we got?
And that is, so I don't know if you saw, a while ago, a few years ago now, there was a movie called The Golden Compass.
Yeah, I actually watched that movie. I dug it. And it was over. And I was like, I'm never going to know what happened.
And I love the books. There are a series called His Dark Materials by Philip Pullman.
Indeed.
And they are making a BBC adaptation of it.
Oh.
And they just announced today, actually, that James McAvoy is going to be in it.
Oh, shit. So it ain't got big time.
Yeah, a big, you know, James McAvoy is a Fans of Patrol fan favorite.
He's a fan favorite.
But I wanted to know if on this episode of What's Dope, we could maybe discuss something that's not dope.
What's that?
Like ultra anti-dope.
What's that, Roseanne's punk ass? Go ahead.
Oh, fuck her. That's like beyond.
Right.
I don't know if you have heard, but Mike told me about this today, so I'm, you know, just hearing about it after I got off work. And that is Steam. Most people who are listening probably familiar with Steam.
Platform.
It's online gaming. Mm-hmm. It's a computer, I guess a database almost, like where you can, it's just a repository where you can download video games, and a lot of them are made by actual companies,
mm-hmm.
but some of them are made by just folks.
Right.
And here's the thing, there was some controversy a while back with Steam, where somebody had made a game about a school shooting simulator.
Yes, I saw that stuff.
Yes, so there was such a large backlash against the fact that they had tried to pull this game from their services that now Steam has incorporated a policy that they are no longer really in charge of they will just upload anything that you decide, as long as it is not illegal, they will put your game on Steam. And already there has been some pretty horrible games. And I just think, what is this world? What is happening?
You know, what's happening is that this company need to get their shit together. You know, I remember back in the 90s, what's that rapper's name? Ice Cube and Dr. Dre. I don't want to be nobody's role model. But before those cats came around, everybody was, you know, rappers and stuff was people's role models. And you would try to be responsible with the fame that was given you and the juice that the crowd, you know, gave you. And, you know, this reminds me of that. You know, Steam has a huge following. And for you to pull some shit like this with the school shooter shit, what in the entire are you thinking that this is like would be cool for anybody, man? And then,
well, it's your company. Like, if I told Baskin Robbins that I thought that I should be able to come in and take a shit on their floor, that doesn't mean no matter how many people got angry about it, you should not allow me to do that.
Right. Worse than that, I'm gonna make a shit flavored ice cream, you know. You know, no, Tifflebot, we don't want shit-flavored ice cream. You're a piece of shit, and get out of here. Have some responsibility in what you're doing, you know? And F you, Sting, for even like putting this out there and waiting for public backlash to make you make even make a move, you know?
There, what was released today, I don't even want to say out loud because it makes me feel sick.
What the hell was released today? We gotta know now. You can't say
okay. So I'm gonna say this, but I want everyone to know that it is a very upsetting.
Here it come. Here you go. Here we go. Brace yourself.
This is so hard to say.
Brace yourself.
They released a game called, I think it's called like AIDS Eradicator.
What the?
AIDS Simulator. Where you will kill people in Africa to stop the spread of AIDS.
Now see, you fuckers need
Isn't
to be shut.
Isn't that some bullshit?
Y'all need to be shut down. See, this is just...
That shouldn't even... That's just not... That goes beyond like your standards of what you're doing. That's propagation of hate.
Now here we go. I'm Sting. Does this help my company or harm it? If it harms my company,
makes you mad. Yeah, you get rid of that shit.
Why would I even let it reach the surface? So obviously, Steam is ran by a bunch of dumbasses. You know who don't want a future. You know what I'm saying?
That is absolutely mind-bogglingly insane to me.
That's nuts, you know. And I'm glad I own an Xbox and Tiff owns.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm
PS4
on my console at home, where everything's vetted and the people who get to make games on there are like not crazy.
Yeah, cause you know, and if you support that kind of stuff, you know, it's Friday that I've been drinking. Fuck you, people, man. I mean, just. The hell is wrong with you, man? I mean, listen, here at Fans on Patrols, we love all men. We love all men, right? We love all men. But we don't love the men who hate men. You know, the hell with
you people, man. No.
That's just crazy.
I didn't even want to say it because it makes my skin crawl.
No. But it's cool to talk about those.
I know, but it's one of those things where it's just like, it's almost like just acknowledging its existence is just... absolutely baffling. So that's really on my like anti-dope. It's like so far away from being dope that we've gone into a dope black hole, and now we're like been sucked into the vortex.
I'm gonna pull it out though, Tim.
Yeah, take me back to what's dope.
I got two what's dopes here.
All right,
the first one is just a little dope, but it's dope. So I posted a video a while ago. And it was by NTD Life, right? What it was a guy who pretty much made a Star Wars speeder bike. Now, basically, it's a drone. It has fans, but you can ride it, right? So he tests this flying machine over water. He had, like, pontoons, like, for it to land. But this guy was like, meh, these big old fans. And it was like, meh, just driving everywhere, right? Self-powered, you know, it was beautiful. And I was just sitting there thinking, like, we're so close. We're so close to speeder bikes, like, for a real thing, you know? And so I thought that was dope. But then, even doper than that, I was sitting around today, and then, like, they dropped the trailer today. And they dropped a Michael Myers trailer. Tiff, they dropped Halloween.
Oh, you love Halloween.
I love Halloween. But not that I just love Halloween, but I like the original Halloween.
And yes.
And like I like Halloween.
Well, the Scream Queen herself.
Right. They had like I like Halloween 1 and 2. And then like the rest of them can go to hell. And then I like Halloween H2O because it brought Jamie Lee Curtis back. And they had LL Cool J back in it. But then they brought John Carpenter and Jamie Lee Curtis back for this one. And when I saw John Carpenter's name, I said, oh, shit. And so I watched the trailer, and I said, oh, shit, it looks so good. It looks so good. I was like, this is dope. This is dope. I mean, I was like, wow, this looks so good, man. I mean, if you're a Halloween fan, if you're a scary movie fan that doesn't go, like, ridiculously over the top, that's one thing that I really liked about the Halloween movies is that it wasn't like, you know, we are the devil and we want to, you know, raise him from the, you know, it wasn't that shit.
Yeah, yeah.
It was, you know, just a hacker and slasher. And then you bring back the screen, like you said, the Scream Queen herself, Jamie Lee Curtis with her fine ass. I don't give a damn what that crazy hair looked like. She fine, y'all. She fine. You know, But they brought her back, and then they brought John Carpenter. So I have so much faith, you know,
that it's going to be a good one.
Yes.
And so that is dope.
I thought that was dope. I was like, shit, god dang it. I'm happy. So that's my was dope. It was two. It was the makeshift speeder bike that's basically a drone, you know, with the fans, the four fans that moves around. And then it was this. So, you know, that's better than what's going on with Steam. And Steam forever. You guys can kiss my ass.
Forever.
I mean, for real, you can kiss my ass, because entertaining this once just shows you where your mind is at. So go to hell. So we're going to take our last and final break. Yes, it's Friday and we're having fun. And y'all haven't heard us, like, you know, like having fun and drinking. I mean, we have fun all the time. But
oh, yeah.
But, you know, now it's like we're really, really having
fun. Relax.
Right. Right. Y'all getting the real tiffle body, Montego Bradley. And so we're going to be right back with our final segment. It's time for the Sharks, y'all. Tiff.
It's time. It's time.
It's summertime, man. And we, god dang it, you know, it's perfect. It's early in the summer. It's summertime, shark movie time. And so we're going to be right back with the shark movie. And we'll be right back, y'all. Summertime, it's back, man. Deep blue sea, we hitting the sharks, we hitting the good weather. I hope you're having a great summer. And so we try to be a part of it.
Don't go swimming.
Don't, no.
Keep your legs up, tucked up.
So here we go, Tiff. 1999. You know what else came out?
1999.
You know what else came out of 1999?
No.
The Hunted, Steven Spielberg with what was Qui-Gon Jinn? What's his name? You know, I have a particularly set of dangerous skills. What's his name? Liam Neeson. That came out in 1999.
Okay.
The Phantom Menace came out in 1999. And Deep Blue Sea came out in 1999.
Oh, those other movies didn't even stand a chance.
Ah. So, Deep Blue Sea. Yo boy, Thomas Jane.
Oh, I love Thomas Jane.
Stefan Burroughs played Dr. Susan McAllister. Susie.
Oh.
You know, they're firing that lady.
Yes. Yes.
Samuel Jack, the young but still old Samuel Jackson.
Yeah, somehow still old.
Jacqueline McKinney. My boy, believe it or not, Michael Rapaport.
You do not like Michael Rapaport.
The blackest, whitest man in America. Doctor, what is his name? His name is Stellan Skarsgård. He Doctor Selvig in the Avengers. He was in the movie. My head is like a shark fin. LL Cool J was in this flick.
I like him in this movie.
Ada Totoro, who was actually very famous from the Sopranos. You know, fame.
Mm-hmm.
Christos, boat captain. I didn't even see him there. Christos, the only time I ever seen Christos was in Desperados. You remember Desperados with Antonio Banderas?
Yes.
Anyway, that's about it. Everybody else is just like arbitrary names. So this is a nothing movie, you know?
And oh my God, it's basically just the fluff from a pillow. Strung along on it. It's amazing. If you haven't seen this movie, stop what you're doing right now. Put this on pause for an hour and 55 minutes and come back and listen to this podcast when you're done.
You know, what's funny to me is like the main movie poster for this movie was Dr. Susie, who's her name is Stefan Burroughs. She's like in the picture with the big shark, and she's like, yes. Who the F is she? You know, nobody knew who she was, right? They should have put Thomas Jane, because he was at least the Punisher at this time, right? He was doing other things at this time, and Samuel Jackson. But you put this lady, but I guess she's like really, really thin. And back in the 90s, thin was in, you know. Now you got to be thick to get, you know, somebody to look at you. So anyway, you know, this movie, man, it came out. And I remember when it came out, I said, I want to see this movie. So I went to the theater with my brand new wife. I got married in 1999, Tiff. How about that? Shit.
In 1999, I was 14 years old.
14 years old, running around being a problem to people.
That is absolutely true.
And I was like walking down the aisle in June talking about, I do. Do I? Anyway.
So 90s. Sharks and marriage. What more can you want?
It's the same. So anyway, man, this movie came out. And Tiff, I got to tell you, when I saw it, I was impressed. So,
what do you mean by impressed?
I liked it. I really did. I was like,
okay, but you don't mean like when you saw this, the CGI, which is fucking terrible.
No.
This is good.
I'm gonna rewind you, okay? Because back in the 90s, it was only like maybe two scenes that was like questionable at the time. CGI was new. And we was like accepting all of it. We was like, okay. That's kind of funny, but it's okay. You know what I'm saying? And so,
yeah, but Mike and I were talking about this as we were watching it, and they do have some practical effects, like a shark puppet or animatronic that looks really good. I just don't know why they wouldn't do that the whole time.
You're talking about internet with the license plate?
Yeah, or like when it comes flying through the, like, even like at the end when they like swim up close to it, there's like a few scenes where it's clearly like some kind of puppet or something rather than CGI.
But the movie had so much charm, and I think a lot of that charm had to deal with the character of LL Cool J and Michael Rapaport. I think that they added a lot to the movie that, you know, if it was about the doctor, nobody would have gave a damn. Thomas Jane was cool, but I have to tell you, Tiff, I got tired of hearing everybody call Carter every 5 minutes. Carter. I was like, fuck, Carter.
Help me,
like,
Carter. Don't let me die.
And all the slides on the ground that he did.
He was a badass. He was like a 90s badass.
Yes, he was. So let's get into the movie real quick.
All right, I'm ready.
So I forgot all about the opening scene, man.
Okay, let's talk about this opening scene.
Go ahead.
It's like definitely people getting sexy in the 90s.
Right, they had a little music going. I thought it was TLC for a minute, but it wasn't TLC. I was like,
off-brand TLC.
And here's the one part that got me. The one guy looks at the other guy, you know, with the girl, and he says, "We're having a party, man." I said, "Why? Why would you say that?" So go ahead, Tiff. Lay it out for us.
Okay, well, so we have these people. They're on a boat. And Mike and I talked about this scene extensively because a shark is attacking the boat. And Mike had said, when I first saw this movie, I thought that they were going to pull back and it was going to be someone on the shark research facility watching a horror movie about a shark.
Now, why would he think that?
Because it would be like really clever. He was like, there's no cleverness in this movie. So the reality is that they are being attacked by a shark, and then Thomas Jane shows up and shoots him with an R harpoon.
Now, hold up, Tim. I thought that was clever, okay? Because I'm sitting there watching, and I'm thinking Jaws. Boom, boom, doom, 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 doom. You know? And the shark is coming, and they pull in the rope. And the rope is like, it's like infinite, right? And the guy hits the girl, and she falls in, and they fall in, which would happen, you know, with a big, you know, explosion, the shark coming through the deck. Everybody's in the water, and I expected everybody to get chewed up because they want to, like, shock you as soon as the movie starts. But then your boy shows up, Thomas Jane, boom, boom, and he stops the whole thing. And I said, oh, that's interesting. That's cool because I thought they was going to do the Jaws thing. You remember Jaws with the girl like, hey, come and get some cheeks. Let's go out to the...
So much tension.
Right. Let's go out there and swim. And the guy got drunk and he was like, oh, here I come. And she got chewed up. They didn't do the same thing. They actually saved all four people. So they just had a shitty tore up boat, you know, but they end up going and lost radio and a teddy bear. But they end up going about their business. And, you know, Thomas Jane, he caught the shark. And I'm going to stop calling him Thomas Jane. I'm going to call him
Carter. I will forget his name.
Carter. They said it 1,000 times in the movie.
I know.
Carter. So they head, you know, they head back to the facility, right? And here's the interesting scene. So the doctor, Burroughs, right? Susan McAllister, she gets off the airplane. It's really corporate now, right? And she goes into, you know, the corporate room. And there's Lieutenant Bogomil from Beverly Hills Cop sitting down.
Oh, see, I have no idea.
Lieutenant Bogomil, he's sitting down. And then there's Sam Jackson standing next to him talking about, like, he's his boy, like he's his manservant. Talking about, I sunk $200,000 into this project. We're going to shut you down.
Oh, it was like millions.
Yeah, he said $200 million he sunk into this. But he's standing next to the Lieutenant Bogomil from Beverly Hills Cop, like, who had no lines, which I, you know, that guy is a pretty good actor. He was also the bad guy in RoboCop. You remember that, RoboCop?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he was, you know, but he had no lines. I was like, wow, they shit, nothing. So anyway, they, you know, he says, hey, you know, she says, I'll give you, you know, give me 48 hours. And so we didn't know. So I thought it was a pretty good scene, Tef, when they were in that seaplane driving and talking about the thing. What about you? Talking about, you know, yeah, the avalanche and stuff.
Because, okay, so easily the best character, like the best actors in this movie, definitely Samuel L. Jackson.
We're going to stick together. We are not going to fight. Go ahead.
he's just better. And even he's not super great in this movie, but he's just so much better than everyone else that you're like, so when the scenes that he's in, even though he's like, oh, they're on the helicopter on the way out to the thing. A nothing scene, a throwaway scene. It's more captivating than some of the other scenes that you get because he's such a much better actor than everyone else.
That is true, but I don't want to sell your boy short, Thomas Jane, because I'm digging him in this movie. I really am digging him in this movie. So they land, right, and, you know, everybody, the lady introduces them to the other lady. Who was the other lady?
Was that Jacqueline McKenzie?
Jacqueline McKenzie, who played Janice Higgins. And fire her ass, right? Because she's just like saying all the wrong shit. He's an executive. You're just sitting there saying all this shit. Nobody likes you, but I'm gonna treat you like you're a regular person. You know, get the hell out of here. Anyway,
well, that actor in particular too. Like she, you can tell there's something weird about the way she's talking. Well, she's really Australian. Why would they give her an American accent?
Well, I bought it. I was fine with it. I didn't see it.
No, until it's terrible.
Until you told me that, I didn't even know. So anyway, you know, they bring him in, and then they had a scene with the little, you know, Thomas Jane and Michael Rapaport. You know, who you gonna trust? Who you gonna trust? I love that.
Who you gonna trust? That's his little tagline.
Right. Who you gonna trust? Because I'm trustworthy. I like that shit, Tiff. I dug it. You know. And that's when, like, Michael Rapaport was at his most charming in his whole career. I have actually liked him his whole career. And now he's doing all this anti-Trump stuff, you know. Every time anytime Trump does something, he's, like, all over the internet. But anyway, so they, he does the shark. Like you said, you were, I don't know if we were recording earlier when you said it, that the shark, the animatronic shark was so awesome.
Thomas Jane in this movie, Carter Blake, is kind of like he's the badass.
He is the badass.
So he swims with these giant sharks, and they show the shark, but the shark that they're going to put in the water is not even the worst shark. It's just the shark they're going to feed to the other sharks.
Ain't that a bitch?
Which was a nice bit of, like, turnaround, because you're like, oh, that's the big shark, but that's not even the big shark. So he swims in the water, he pulls the license plate out, he's the badass guy, and then he comes out of the water and he meets Samuel L. Jackson. You can tell that, like, this is the, kind of like, they butt heads a little bit. They're not friendly towards each other.
Yeah, which was, back in the day when I watched this, I thought it was cool, you know. I mean, for the 90s, yeah. He was like, yeah, F the man. But then, now you're watching and you're like, huh, yeah, why would you do that?
you would think that it seems more like now, if you were to rewrite the movie or if you were to like it, like, they seem to have more of a rapport than other people on the ship.
Oh, they had the best relationship of anybody in here, you know. They understood each other. Listen, I am a piece of shit that did some shit, And then I'm a rich piece of shit that did some shit. Right? Right? They established that, you know, he was like, I never met a rich man that had his hands clean, you know. So I like that. They understood each other. And they basically was the same person. They both were men of action, you know, because of the iceberg, you know, the avalanche thing that Sam Jackson had
in his past. Which I really liked it, his interaction with LL Cool J when he's like, don't do that. Don't do that white people shit.
He was his stupid ass, stupid ass black people trying to act like white people. I mean, it took like 5 seconds to establish that. And he goes down and, you know, we have the scene, Dr. Sevek from the Avengers. They're watching the shark. They inject the shark and, you know, he's helping Alzheimer's, right? That's the whole thing. Mm-hmm. They're firing. That's that line when she says, they're firing. I'm like, oh, God, this is terrible. I felt that back in the day,
too. Yeah, that is really bad, especially because I don't think that a dead piece of brain cell would come back to life even if you were to inject those cells into those proteins into a live brain.
Hold up, Tiff.
I'm sorry.
It's 1999.
I am sorry.
Everything is possible.
Good job, 1999.
So anyway,
so this shit goes fucking sour.
Oh yeah, because the dude starts smoking a cigarette, and a shark wakes up and chews off his arm.
Oh, he gets him good. And here's the thing: these people are idiots. Like, do you not? They're all doctors.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Not medical doctors, but you still have a certain amount of train. Like, you're still. So the only person who uses a tourniquet is Samuel L. Jackson. And that's long, long after it was way too late to use the tourniquet.
Yeah, dude should have been dead, right? He chewed off the arm. And
there was so much blood.
And everybody's like panicking. And it's in slow motion. Tong, 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 tong. And you're like, he should be dead. So
yeah, he should be dead.
You know, so he chews off the arm and they get rid of the shark. He's going to shoot the shark, but the lady's like, I got a secret. I don't want to shoot the shark. So now they're taking him up to the medical evac him. And so it's a hurricane coming, right? And so, you know.
This is some really good. Okay, I will say, no matter what you think about Deep Blue Sea, they really do a good job with dramatic tension. Because, like, pulling him up.
He's coming up.
Ooh, uh-oh. There's a problem with the crank thing.
Hey, but you knew it was, though, Tiff. You know
why?
Oh,
you knew it wasn't going to go.
You know, because you could hear from the beginning when it started taking them up. It was like, and it was like, what the heck? Why is it so loud? Why can I hear it? And I'm in the audience, you know? And so it like buckles. It goes down. But I'm going to call it bullshit real quick here. Because the dude goes underwater, right?
Mm-hmm.
The shark, you know, he has a breather on. The shark grabs the guy, obviously, they don't let you know. And then, like, they start tearing off toward the most, like, heaviest concrete part of the section, right? But he's like the cable is cutting through the girder. And I'm like, what cable would survive that? You know what I'm saying? It's not.
There's lots of things, if you look too closely in this movie, you're like, uh-oh.
Yeah, but I remember in the 90s, I was like, uh-oh. I was like, that would happen. I was, that thing would have snapped, man. It's just cable. But anyway, in this movie, it pulls the whole helicopter down, blows up the Janice and Sopranos, and, you know, our heroes are below. Boom. Everything is going wrong now, Tiff. You know, it's like, it's terrible now. Because the sharks, apparently, got enough brains that they're doing this on purpose. So
super smart sharks.
It is so funny when it, like, Sam Jackson's like, what is that? Will somebody tell me what is that? And like the shark got the dude with the breather in his mouth.
It is. There are some really great lines. My favorite line in this whole movie, is when the Samuel Jackson says, well, 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 am I the only asshole down here who finds that a tad bit odd?
Right, because these sharks are smart as shit, and they find out this lady has been doing illegal gene therapy on these
right.
things.
Right. Now, that's one of the things, like, you know how you said there's a problem with that cable? Our problem with this movie is that the lady, the blonde lady, didn't know, she had said earlier, oh, there's no genetic tampering. And then she is shocked to find out that they were genetically enhancing these sharks, even though she was working intimately on the same project as them.
So
how did you not fucking know?
Her boyfriend had to be intricately involved to get the right arm chewed
it was
off.
Him and the lady.
Him and the lady had to be intricately involved. And they mentioned, you know, you could see, what do you call it, an example of this when the guy pulls the shotgun that I guess can shoot underwater at the sharks, yeah. And they back up. You know, they're like, oh, shit, he got a gun. And he's like, wait a minute, did they recognize that gun? Now, I'm talking about this shit like it's ridiculous right now, but I remember in 1999, I was sitting there like, yeah, yeah. I mean, I was all in, man. So the movie,
watch out, here comes the shark.
Right! The movie did what it was supposed to do at the time, you know, because yes. We know better now of a lot of these things. But at the time, I was all in, Tiff. I'm not even playing. I was all in.
I'm all in now, even though I watched this movie long after 1999, and I still love it.
Yeah. So, you know, the shark throws a dude through the window, right? Yeah. And I think that's ridiculous. I'm pissed that, you know, I was pissed back in the day, and I'm pissed now because they took a move. We should all move. Damn, Samuel L. Jackson had a pretty good 1999 because he was in Phantom Menace at that time, too. Anyway, so the window caves in, right, and everybody gets out. Why is Thomas Jane always the guy, like, sliding on the floor and shit? What is that, Tiff?
Your action hero.
I'm like, why is he always, like, sliding and shit and barely making it out and stuff, you know? So anyway, they all get out of that room. And then I think they flash the LL Cool J.
Yes, he is all alone. And, like, he obviously, and I will say this again later, the real hero of the movie is LL. He doesn't even know what's happening. He has no idea. He just knows that something has gone wrong because it started to flood.
Right, he don't have no wetsuit. And I think he does a really, really, really good job of shivering and being cold because that is seawater. You know?
Yeah, that's freezing cold.
And he's like, the whole time, like, he never stops being cold. I'm watching him, you know, even today when I watch the movie, and I'm like, I'm getting cold. You know what I'm saying? Because he did such a good job. Yes. And I'm like, wow, good job. I really believe this movie really launched his career into, like, you know, cinema and TV, because he had a TV show for years, and he's been in, like, movie after movie. And good job, and good for you, LL Cool J, because you was just a rapper that used to talk about your radio shit and how bad you was. Anyway, so he's selling it to me, him and that damn bird. And
I love that bird.
What do you call him? Big Butt.
Big Butt. Yeah, he was always that was just a foul mouthed bird. You know what I mean? And then he was like, and then LL Cool J was so sad when he died.
Yeah, because that was his only friend.
It's
right?
His bird. It's bird.
So, you know, they have to figure out a way to get to the top, and so, like, it becomes like the Poseidon Adventure.
Yes, it is exactly like the Poseidon Adventure, because there's that exact scene, like, in the Poseidon Adventure, they have to climb up that shaft.
Yes, indeed.
This exact fucking scene from the Poseidon Adventure, they're climbing up a shaft and there's water rising because of the pressure.
Exactly. And which is cool, because this is the 1999, Tim.
Stop talking about the 90s.
It's 1999 and we got on cross-color clothes now, so we can accept all this shit. So... You know, they go here, they go there, it's not working, you know. And I really like the Michael Rapaport scene. He's the smart guy. I really like how they keep saying he's like Hicks and the aliens. You know, what the fuck are we going to do now, man?
Yes.
You know, but then they say, hey, what's going to happen if this happens? He's like, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, and this is going to happen, you know, mathematically. I said, that's cool as shit, you know, because they refocus him and he, you know, his intellect takes over and, you know. So they keep moving. And all one at a time, tip their goals. I think.
Yes, and you know what? Even though it is CGI.
Yeah.
They get fucked up.
We are gonna stick together. We are not gonna fall apart. Then that was the worst CGI in the whole film when Samuel Jackson got chewed up.
It was pretty bad.
It was bad. Even back in the day, I remember I said, "Oh, that looked bad," but oh well. We'll just forgive that. You know? So he got chewed up. He's gone. And it's kind of funny because Carter kept saying, I wouldn't stand that close. But the big shark came and grabbed him, chewed him up. So then we're like, on the hustle bustle. We're on the hustle bustle, Tiff. But then the blonde Right.
She falls off. And you know what? She had to go because she just didn't have it. She didn't have the drive to make it to the top.
And let me tell you something. This was still in the 90s. It was half and half with, like, you know, horror movie logic. She was shitty to the doctor. The doctor was shitty, yes, too. But because she was shitty to the doctor, she had to go deaf. You know?
She had to go.
So they pulled her up. Did you notice that the shark grabbed her right in the crotch?
They did get her in an inappropriate place. And they pushed, like, they do do a nice job, but they, like, make it seem like she's jumping out of the water to get to him. Yes. No, it's the shark.
Right, but they made you, they absolutely said, hey, he got her in the crotch, everybody. Look, you know, yes. I was like, wow. Yes. So she gets
terrible.
Like, right, it was terrible. It was the 90s, though, Tiff. So
stop talking about the 90s.
So she gets it, right? And then, like, they get, you know, LL Cool J comes to the rescue, right? Boom. Because
he rescues everybody several fucking times.
Yes, because he was in there with the stove, and the stove was beating the hell out of everything, and boom, 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 boom. And he gets out, and then next thing you know, he's standing over there. So they climb out. They're in another part, you know. And so now they got to figure out what to do. So Michael Rapaport character, he plays Tom Scoggins. He figures out, listen, we got to turn this shit on for the elevator or we're not going to get out of here, right?
Yes.
And so they go in, him and Carter. Carter comes out. That the guy doesn't. He get chewed up shitly. He got probably about worse than everybody.
Yeah, he gets, like, bit in half and legs, yeah, it was pretty bad.
And shit, I was like, this sucks, man. So that happens. They come back and the lady's like, where is he at? He's not there.
So, yeah, but at the same time this is happening, she has killed another shark.
Yeah, because
she goes in that room to get this. She can't leave without the research.
LL Cool J, he kills a shark, man, by himself.
Oh yeah, he killed he blew earlier when he got in the stove. He blew up the first shark. He was the first shark killer.
Yes, and then she kills one
with electricity.
Electricity. They come out and notice she has to get, like, half damn near butt naked.
Of course.
Right? You know, and then she comes out. And she don't zip up her top, right? Even though she don't have big boobies. It's the 90s, Tim.
It's the
90s. And so she comes out, and she never zips that up, if you know, ever know. So it's three people left, Tim. It's the brother. And he makes the joke to saying, brothers never make it out of these movies. Yes. You know, I'm a dead man. And so they go up, they go up, they go up. And they make it, man. They're out there, right? They do the little vest thing, and LL Cool J, all of a sudden, the shark gets him, man. It's like,
but then he gets escaped.
He escapes.
But here's the thing. Here's a really good twist in this movie. It's not major, but they realize that the reason these sharks are doing what they're doing is that they wanted to flood the facility, and then the only parts of the fence that are not reinforced steel are the top, just regular chain link fence, because why would you ever have to worry about that? The sharks are in the water. So they're trying to get to sink so that the part they can chew through or jump over comes down.
Indeed. So the sharks is Dr. Evil, actually. They actually had a master plan the whole movie, right? So their plan is coming to fruition. And so LL Cool J actually gets, what's his, Preach. Preach gets, yes, saved. And they pull him out the water, and they have this thing. They have a bunch of flare gunpowder, and he says, this is 2.5 sticks of dynamite. I guess.
So, yeah, whatever.
Right. Right. Whatever. And so they're going to shoot the shark and blow him up. Now all you got to do is hit this, like, this electrical thing.
The positive thing on the battery.
That's it. And the shark is, like, trying to get through the gate. And they just say they got to stop the shark because if it gets out, what?
It'll be in the ocean and kill everyone. Who knows?
Well, it's one.
Bring their sharks and make a whole sea of giant sharks.
It's one goddamn shark. I say let it go, but, you know, we go too far. So he said, here we go. And they started going after the shark. And then the lady says, oh, you know, she feels bad. I'm going to cut my wrists and, you know, bring the shark here. Even though I didn't work out the fact of the plan of how I'm going to get out of the water. She does right. that. Shark comes, chews her up, right? Chews her up bad.
Yeah, I got her.
Right. So at that point, Thomas James jumps in the water. Carter, and he gets shot by El Cool J. Preach. And they're going toward the wall. And the line is going. And all of a sudden, Thomas Jane, Carter. I don't even know how he gets away. How he gets out of that thing.
He finally just looses himself up, but not before LL Cool J, he says, just do it because it doesn't matter if I get sacrificed. LL Cool J believes that he kills Carter.
Yes. You're
when he touches the positive, right. The shark explodes. Boom.
Boom. And
it's
so,
a huge thing.
It's beautiful. Right? Blood and water and huge, guts.
Like the
right?
water is filled with blood.
But, you know, Carter makes it, man.
Pops out.
Music cues. My head is like a shark fin.
Head is like a shark fin.
Two people made it. Carter and Preach. The black man finally made out of a horror movie. The first time in history of man. 1999. Everybody remember that.
1999.
Right. Excellent movie, but shitty movie. But it's
Oh, it's shitty, but it's so fun to watch. I highly recommend it.
So fun to watch. I agree with you 100%. It's so fun to watch. So, you know, I haven't seen this movie, Tiff. I swear to God, I haven't seen this movie probably since the 90s. You know?
I saw it last year, so.
Did you? I got it on old DVD, you know, and I really,
it's on Netflix right now, so go for it, people.
I could have watched this in glorious HD, and I watched it in like a standard definition. Shitty. That's terrible. But anyway, yeah, I agree with you, Tev. Go watch it. It's a lot of fun, especially if you listen to this podcast. Go, you know, rewind it, man. You know, and listen to it together because we kind of stuck with it. We didn't do a commentary, but it's still good. So that's going to be it for Fans of Patrol this week, man. Next week, we got E3.
E3.
And I think, man, Tiff, I don't know. We've done E3 like years and years. I still want to do The Incredibles, man. Maybe we can do both. I don't know.
I think we could.
We're going to let y'all know if we're going to do E3 and The Incredibles. You know, something different. So we'll let you know. But I think I want to see The Incredibles. And you know we're going to do E3. we're going to do the TempoBot special on E3. So,
yes.
Anyway, I'm the host of Fans of Patrol. My name is Montego Bradley. And with me is my studious and lovely co-host, Ms. TempoBot.
It's been a pleasure, as always.
Indeed, everybody. And until next week, man, and we'll be doing video games in the movie. We will be
on Patrol.
Mount Zion.